Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Following 84 complaints, a tampon ad has been banned by the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland for being over-descriptive, inappropriately expressed and with excessive detail. But the move has sparked outrage on social media and elsewhere, with some branding the ban ridiculous, outdated and unbelievable censorship. To discuss the ruling, I'm joined by Orla Toomey, Chief Executive of the Advertising Standards Authority, and by Alexandra Ryan, founder of and CEO of Goss Media. Orla Toomey of the ASA, to you first. What was the reason that you banned the ad?
Thanks, Philip. Essentially, if you look at our report, there were four areas that were subject to a complaint. And in three of the areas, we didn't uphold the complaints. But in one of the areas, from our point of view, most of the times an ad is complained about, we might get one or two complaints. In the last 4.5 years, there have only been 7 ads that have had more than 60 complaints made about them. So when we look at the evidence of whether or not an ad has caused widespread offence as opposed to grave offence, certainly 84 plus complaints would indicate that it has caused widespread offence. And it was on that basis that the Complaints Committee upheld the complaints.
And did those other 7 ads that got more than 60 complaints end up getting banned for the same reason?
In some of the cases, the ads weren't actually within the jurisdiction, our jurisdiction, okay. So we would have sent them elsewhere. And one of the cases, it did. In another case, the complaints were made more on, not just on offence, but more on misleadingness and whether or not it was accurate, and they weren't upheld.
OK, before we go any further, I think it's necessary not to cause even wider offence, but to explain to people what it is that did so cause offence to at least those 84 individuals. I want to play a clip from the ad. So, if you are of a sensitive disposition, you have been warned.
Tell me, how many of you ever feel your tampon? You shouldn't. It might mean your tampon isn't in far enough. You gotta get them up there, girls!
The ad is attempting to do something which is, you would have thought, you know, a valuable public service, isn't it? Telling younger, perhaps first-time users of tampons how to insert them properly.
I think it's important to say, from an ASAI point of view and from a Code point of view, we don't have objection at all to there being educational type ads for any product, and certainly not for tampons. But it is about how it is done and the content and the context and the way it is done. And in this case, even some of our complainants were positive about the fact that there was an educational message, but they didn't like the way the message was delivered. And I think that is part of the issue. So it's not that per se it is wrong to discuss tampon usage in advertising, but it is how you do it.
Alexandra Ryan, what do you make of this?
I think it's absolutely insane that there is complaints in the first place, let alone that they were upheld. And one of the main points I want to make, if you compare this for Tampox compared to previous ads in the past, like me growing up, I'm a 30-year-old woman now, all the ads I've seen over the years is how to hide the fact you're on your period, how you can wear a pad or wear a tampon that will allow you to wear white pants, for example, so that there'll be no stains. A lot of it really forces this idea that you should be ashamed of it and you should hide it. So why would I, as a young girl, ask someone, how do I use this property? Can I borrow one? Do you have one? Because it becomes this almost shameful secret, especially as a younger girl. So what I think the ad was trying to do was, yes, to educate people, but maybe give the shock factor a bit so they could get younger people engaged. Because like I said, most of the ads in the past have been very much how to hide it. And I know some of the complaints said that there was an underlying sexual connotation, but any woman in the world that's used a tampon will know it is in no way sexual. It's the same as getting a smear test, you know. No one thinks it's comfortable or pleasurable at all. But I do think by using that phrase, get it up there, girls, it's a way to grab younger women's attention. And I, as a 30-year-old woman, I can tell you for sure, friends of mine at this age still don't properly know how to use tampons. And it's never really properly discussed in our friendship groups because, again, in Ireland in particular, it's a subject that's kind of been promoted as not being discussed and that it shouldn't be discussed.
It's loud, it's brash, it's attention-grabbing, it's certainly informative, it's attempting to normalise something that should be, for God's sakes, an absolutely mm-hmm. normal thing for, well, at least half the population to be discussing. I wonder, though, when you cause that much offence, should you not look at yourself and say, oh, OK, maybe we'd got the tone of this just a little bit wrong, Alexandra?
But you know what it would remind me of, and I'm sure you remember this, when Normal People first aired, there was huge amounts of complaints on Liveline about the sex scenes, and a lot of people were arguing at the time the sex scenes were actually vital for young people because it really showed how consent can play a part.
I think the difference there, though, Alexandra, was that there was one or two very vocal and, let's face it, entertaining complainants that were allowed on Liveline for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. What Orla was responding to here was 84 complaints, where previously the largest kind of numbers of complaints about ads was a little, even less than that. So it did, albeit subjectively, it did cause offence.
It did cause offence, but I think what we need to look at is why is it so offensive? Like, if I saw an ad on TV that explained and showed vividly how a man should check their prostate for prostate cancer, that would obviously be a bit of a shock to me, and I wouldn't be expecting to see that, but I would know this is educational, and I think people need to understand the difference. This isn't a rap video of a girl in a bikini dancing all over a guy, which, by the way, is welcomed and allowed on television all the time. This is an ad that was meant to educate young women and target young girls in particular, and this is the way to get girls' attention. They're on TikTok, they're on social media, they're looking for something exciting, something brash. That's the type of stuff they need. So I think there's a lot more problems out there, and there's way more visuals out there on TV that is being allowed.
Orla, would you accept that the advertisement was not aimed at a demographic that anybody in this conversation is actually part of, but people who are considerably younger, and that for that reason, you're doing them a disservice by not letting this ad run?
I think the research that the advertisers had shows that there are issues across a whole range of ages, but that, yes, predominantly that there are issues with younger people.
And that it's a good thing that those younger people have this conversation normalised.
I agree with you, and we're not disagreeing that there, you know, we've no objection to the concept of education ads. Bearing in mind, this is a commercial product, this is a commercial company, and so they saw an issue about usage and they wanted to address it. But it's the manner in which they did that, because they advertised it to the public at large. And we don't capture demographic information about our complainants apart from their names and addresses, but certainly from the tone of the complaints and from what they've said in their complaints to us, it was across a wide range of life experience, let me put it that way, rather than age.
So you said something else there that's a little bit concerning. You don't capture individual information, so it would be possible for somebody to make multiple complaints from a number of different internet service providers, no?
No, Philip, because we do require people's name and postal address. And so, you know,
so you're confident that you're not being gamed by somebody who's over enthusiastic in their objection or their outrage?
Yeah. We do know when we, you know, we've had a lot of experience at this, and we know when complaints are being made that are being, you know, being forwarded, lots of people sharing the same type of language and that sort of thing. This wasn't the situation here. Is it possible that there were a small number of those complaints who were trying to do that? I can never say with certainty that there isn't, but by and large, looking at the type of complaints we got, the language that they were using, from their own experience and their own life experience, these were genuine complaints. And I think one of the things to recognise is that sometimes these issues, they are subjective. It's you can objectively say that, yes, education is a good thing, and of course it is. But subjectively, you can look at an ad and say, well, there are the content and the context in which the ad was shown to people has caused widespread offence to a number of people, which based on our figures would constitute widespread offence.
Alexandra?
For me, I think this all goes back to the same ideas of be honest, patriarchy and misogyny, because this is so focused to women, I just can't see an ad like this getting the same complaints if it had to do with men or male products. And I've seen a lot of people discuss that today on social media at the news that this has been banned. That's kind of another way for women to like lose a bit of control, I suppose, because, you know, in society in general, in ads, in films, on TV, we see women taking off their clothes, being sexualized, but then at the same time, women are being told to cover up and be ashamed when they feel like it. So kind of the message is distorted a lot of the time. So I think a lot of people today are frustrated that once again, women's real issues cannot be spoken about. Like, they can have sex in a movie, they can be sexualized in videos and ads, but if it comes to menstruation and their health, this is where it draws the line. And that's just absolutely bizarre to me. I think it's really vital that these kind of ads do run, because unfortunately, there's a lot of parents that wouldn't speak to their daughters in this manner. They wouldn't show them or explain to them how to use a tampon. And like I said, friends my own age in their 30s, they still don't really know how to use them. A lot of women I know don't actually use tampons because they're afraid to use them. It hurts them. So I actually think the younger a woman can get advertisements like this and information like this, it's much more helpful to their lives. It is in no way sexualizing the use of tampons.
I agree, and can I just say there, you know, I think it's very important to say that the ASCI did not find that the ad or consider that the ad was sexualizing. We did not consider that that was, we didn't uphold those complaints, so we wouldn't agree with those complaints. Mm-hmm. That it was sexualising.
And Orla, just before I let you go, do you have any idea of the age profile of the complainants?
No, but as I say...
Or the gender breakdown?
The gender breakdown was predominantly women.
And I wonder, would they be older women who were of a generation that just aren't comfortable with these things being discussed in public? I mean, thereby supporting what Alexandra is saying.
I think from looking at the content of the complaints, there were people at different life experiences. I can't categorise against age, but just different life experiences. And there is no doubt that amongst those complainants, there were complainants who perhaps were of maybe an older age or just weren't comfortable with the topic being discussed in the way it was being discussed. And I think that's where you get this this challenge when you're looking at whether or not a particular advertisement has caused widespread offence or is in breach of the code, because obviously it is subjective and there are lots of people, and I accept there are lots of people who didn't consider the ad to be offensive, who considered it to be, you know, a good thing and refreshing, and it was talking about a very important subject. But that's not to dismiss the people who actually wrote to us, took the time to write to us and say, I am offended by this ad. And as I said, the numbers of complaints that we got are up at that level that would indicate to us that there was widespread offence.
And one final question. Is it open to the ASAI to reinstate an ad if a similar number of people write in and say, we have absolutely no problem with this and you're actually doing us a disservice?
We don't have a process for that.
Okay, I didn't think so.
In the short term. But what we do is we can work with advertisers to see whether there's a way that the ad can be
to edit
back.
The ad to make it a bit more broadly acceptable. All right, yeah. Orla Toomey, Chief Executive of the ASAI, and Alexandra Ryan, Founder of CEO of Goss Media. Thank you both very much.